You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. I remember watching the movie Dazed and Confused when I was a sophomore in high school, and the song Lowrider by War came on. And I had this strange moment of feeling like I was hearing the song for the first time, but I'd also already known it my whole life. It's one of my favorite movie music memories. And that song had been around my whole life. To me, it feels like it's part of the architecture of pop culture. The band War formed in 1969 in Long Beach, California. Lowrider is from their 1975 album, Why Can't We Be Friends? The song was a hit as soon as it came out. It went to number one on the Billboard R&B charts. And it's just had tremendous lasting power ever since. Besides being in Dazed and Confused where I heard it, it's been sampled by the Beastie Boys, it was covered by Korn, and it was the theme song for all six seasons of The George Lopez Show. For this episode, I talked to War's band leader, Lonnie Jordan, and their producer, Jerry Goldstein. The two of them told me how Lowrider was made in the studio through a combination of improvisation and meticulous editing.
My name is Lonnie Jordan. I am the band leader, music coordinator, and keyboard player of War. That's me, along with my partner.
I'm Jerry Goldstein. I'm War's producer from the beginning.
There were seven people in the band. Charles Miller, saxophone and vocal on Lowrider, Papa D. Allen on percussion, Harold Brown on drums, B.B. Dickerson, bass, Howard Scott, guitar. Lee Oscar, harmonica. It all started on the West Coast, California, in a studio called Crystal Studio.
Crystal Studio on Vine Street.
And we went into the studio and we didn't have a song yet. We weren't really writers. We didn't know nothing. And Jerry knew that. So he just took us in and said, okay, let's see what we can get.
They'd never been in the studio, so I tried to make him as comfortable as possible.
And we respected that, you know, because of his past, you know, with songs like Hang On Sloopy, Sloopy Hang On, and My Boyfriend's Back and I'm Gonna Get In Trouble, all that stuff. I would stand probably over his shoulder sometimes and watch how he was writing things, and he would just do it like it was nothing.
Ideas just kind of would come into my head.
It would just come to
listening to the tracks, jamming. So we did a 45-minute jam. It was just part of the creative process. We'd go in and we'd start recording, you know, and most of the time we'd just jam it. It's going along and all of a sudden, 8 minutes in or something, there's a nice groove. This is, this is cool. So I make a note, because it was only a small part of the jam that I had checked off and said, this part's interesting, we should work on this, you know?
Best editor in the world, Jerry Goldstein.
And that was all part of it. It's kind of like between myself and the band and the engineer, we were like a nine-piece band. And we all were in it at the same time together, you know, feeling it.
Creating it from scratch. That was our baby. Okay, check this out, step by step. We did this whole 45-minute jam. We haven't developed any form yet.
No, I just found 8 minutes of it that I liked.
That's it.
And I mixed the whole 8 minutes and then edited it to figure out what the record's going to sound like and what's the order of everything. And it was like a process.
It was scientific.
It was crazy at times. This is the way we wrote.
Yeah.
We have tracks and ideas, and then we would just make records out of them. And a lot of times they were written in the studio. Like, I had to create the beginning. There was no beginning because it was part of a jam. So I created the beginning by putting the cowbell by itself.
Papa D did that beginning. That's when we started creating the form of the song. When I used to play the timbales, I had my own style. I did know people like Tito Fuente and all these other percussionists was playing like, boom, ka-plop. Mine was ba-doom, ba-doom, ka-plop. And Jerry liked it. I didn't like it, but he kept it because he knew it was different.
Our style was so eclectic, and he had his own way of playing them, and they just found the pocket every time.
And then that was the trademark.
Harold Brown on the drums, he's singing along with it in his own way, you know. Whatever's coming out of his head, he's singing it.
That's what he did.
But it happened on all the things he did.
All the songs.
But even the leakage was in the groove. You know what I mean? Ah, that's BB. Ah, yeah. Great line. BB was like a very innovative bass player.
And I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of rock and roll bands back in the day, after we did that song, a lot of rock and rollers simulated the bass line. We were ahead of our time. Give me that bass.
I never re-recorded any of this stuff. I always made the original jam work. You know, it's more organic that way. And that's why it's so raw, and that's why it's war.
So then we come back in and say, okay, let's put some real lyrics on. And it just so happened that Charles Miller, our saxophone player at the time, walked in the studio, and he had just parked his lowrider car outside. He just bought it.
And we all went out to see it.
52 Chevy. Ooh, it was nice.
And I said, you got that lowrider out there. Why don't we write a song about you, about lowriders? And he went out on the mic and we wrote down everything that we wanted to write about lowriders and the lowrider vibe and the lowrider culture.
All my friends know the lowrider.
Charles had his own real style of singing. He was kind of brilliant in his own way, and he was a great sax player. And he also had a unique vocal sound.
The low rider is a little higher.
The low rider culture, the beginning of it all, was happening in Los Angeles, East LA. And we came out with a culture, you know, of people, Hispanics and blacks, who shared the same dreams of fixing up a car and seeing who can have the best car, who can drop at the lowest. I mean, it was a crazy scene at the time.
The low rider drives a little slower. Low rider is a real goer.
I was in the studio playing the piano while they were trying to work out the lyrics. And then I came back in to hear what they had.
And then Lonnie said, why don't we try Take a Little Trip?
Take a little trip, take a little trip, take a little trip and see. Take a little trip, take a little trip, take a little trip with me.
And then
acoustic on a song like that, Howard Scott.
Howard Scott.
That piano sound is called an RMI, RMI piano. Only a few bands had those. They didn't really like them, but I liked the attitude it had. Jerry put it on tape and said, okay, let's put it on there without thinking about it, because thinking for us was a disease.
That's right. Nobody thought. We just
no thinking.
We just did.
Just do it. Yeah. all of our music is sax and harmonica.
That's the horn section.
That's our horn section, period. And that's me on the little xylophones.
People don't even know the xylophone's in there.
But no, they don't, but it's
that's
a mix.
Part of the sound. You know, it's like, that's what we did. We just did what we felt. And, you know, there was a xylophone there that day. I didn't order it. It was just session, yeah. I guess. And actually, Stevie Wonder worked in the afternoons, and we worked in the evenings. So I guess Stevie had it or something, you know. The line is the hook all by itself. Da, 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 da.
If you ask someone, they said, yeah, I know that song you guys did.
Yeah, when I tell people who are younger, you know, or you maybe don't know Lowrider, and I sing the hook, everybody knows that.
And then they sing, Lowrider is a little higher. And that's it.
I mean, I spent days editing this thing to get it right because I had to finish the album. And this was the last song I was doing on the album. And it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm at Sound City and I've got 5 edited versions that I had done that day. And I took the shortest version because you never get enough in 3 minutes. Don't overdo it. Just give them enough, just what it needs, and that's it. I had a friend on some local radio station, and before we actually released it, I had this radio station play it. And the phones, the guy was saying he's never had the phones light up like it did.
The Lowrider community, and especially the Hispanic community, I mean, they made us.
We had a huge Mexican-American following, and a huge Mexican following, because we would play towns like El Paso and get more pesos in the box office than dollars. Lowrider has a life of its own. It's been done so many different ways and so many different times.
Yeah. I didn't even know half of the rappers until they started sampling our music. You know,
Beastie Boys.
A lot of rappers come up on stage with us. What's the name with the big clock?
Flavor Flav.
Yeah, Flavor Flav came up on stage. I said, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Before I met these guys, I'd write the song. I'd arrange the song. I'd hire the musicians. I'd tell them what to play. So I was in total control of all the sessions. And then they came along, and they were different from anything I'd ever
worked with. Totally different.
The most interesting ensemble of people that I have worked with. And the one thing I always did is allow everybody to do, you know, whatever you are, you are. Whatever you want to play, you want to play. And it was completely opposite of what I had done before. I learned from them.
We all learned from each other, too.
And we had a good time.
Coming up, you'll hear how all of these ideas and elements came together in the final song. Thanks to Factor for sponsoring Song Exploder. You can take the stress out of your meal planning this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. And they have over 35 meals that you can choose from every week with different dietary options like Calorie Smart or the one that I do, which is vegetarian. Go to factormeals.com/songexploder50 and use the code songexploder50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your second box. The code again is SONGEXPLODER50 at factormeals.com/SONGEXPLODER50. You get 50% off your first box, 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. And now, here's Lowrider by War in its entirety.
Thank you.
To learn more, visit songexploder.net/war. You'll find links to buy or stream Lowrider, and you can watch the music video. War will be on tour in the USA over the summer of 2024, and you can get tickets for that at war.com. This episode was produced by Craig Ely, Theo Balcom, Kathleen Smith, Mary Dolan, and myself. The episode artwork is by Carlos Lerma, and I made the show's theme music and logo. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can learn more about all our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can follow me on social media at Rishi Hirway, and you can follow the show at Song Exploder. You can also get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest. And then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.